United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks. We've got a pretty full agenda tonight. First topic on the agenda is the superintendent's report.
Yeah, I just want to thank Public Ms. Bukos, who decided to come. She loves to speak in public, right? You were all excited to come. Yes. But there's a special dedication, and I think the story, if you don't mind me just telling the board and the community, because I think it's a great story of what occurred with you and who you met and why we're here tonight about this dedication.
I went on vacation last spring to Puerto Rico, and I met a local artist. And in a normal conversation, where he's from, it turned out that he lived in St. Regis. Now, his perception as a young boy was he was the only Puerto Rican family in St. Regis. He went to school, and his teacher, Mrs. Ortino, made him feel very welcome. During his time here, he went to her and said, one day, very upset, and she wanted to know why he was so upset, and he said, I really want to draw, and I don't know how to draw. And she brought him to the library, got him a book on drawing, and evidently changed this man's life. He called people over that said, you know, she knows Mrs. Orfino, and people all knew this story because he's told it all throughout his career. He works in woods, and he makes wooden puzzle pieces that he paints, and he depicts different arts, and then he has prints of them. And what he'd like to do is donate one of his prints, which, it's a terrible picture, I'm sorry, which I have in a framer right now. He mailed this to me, a little plaque, saying, you know, to Clayton Huey, saying, the storyteller, Whisper of Wisdom, donated to Clayton Huey Elementary School in honor of Mrs. Vivian Orfino, your words, in parentheses, someday you will become a famous artist, in parentheses, made a difference in my life. And then his, you know, his title. So we're just asking permission to donate that to the school.
That's great. And did I see in an email that he's coming here?
He's coming here on Monday.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, he wanted to tour the school. He's going to his old house. He's going to
set
visit
that up. Can he walk through?
Yeah, well, he's done walk through.
He's done walk through.
Great. I think that's how did you end up like figuring out you're from St. Regis, he was from St. Regis, and
it was the normal, you know, where are you from? Eastern Long Island. Oh, why are you still in St. Regis? Well, I work in St. Regis, and you know.
That's interesting.
Great story.
Yeah, I think it's great. Great story. So I think we need, pursuant to our policy, to make a motion to. Well, what's the motion? The motion to accept,
to allow this, allow, to accept and allow this dedication. No.
So we're going to make a motion to allow and accept this dedication to Clayton Huey Elementary School.
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's great.
Thank you.
We also have Board of Education, our entire guidance department from the secondary complex here tonight. Thank you so much for all of you coming. Did you plan the shirts? I'm thinking so.
I feel like my shirt.
Yeah, I don't know. You didn't get one. I thought it was appropriate. You missed the memo. But if you wouldn't mind coming up, do you want to say, is it okay if the board stays seated and looks at in front of them, or would you rather them run around?
Do we have paper, though? Is it here? Do you have paper? Oh, it's there.
No. Thank you.
Yeah, so the reason we are wearing these shirts, University of Auburn, is one of our students, Erica Kaczynski, is coming there, and Mike Kaczynski has appreciated, really, not just Mr. Mack, who's our guidance counselor, but I guess all of us, because I guess we all sort of had a... that's why we're wearing our shirt.
Nice. That's great.
Good opportunity to wear that. So we are here to just talk about some of the initiatives. We've presented a few times, and so we thought it would be great for the whole department, including Glenn at the middle school, to really discuss some of our initiatives, some things we'd like to see happen, we've been working on this year. Yes.
Thank you. And who's going to start, Mr. Reffi, or...
I'll jump right in.
Okay.
Whoop, then jump.
All right, I guess, you know, we had a couple meetings and we wanted to really make a conscious effort to get together on what we do. We all do a lot. We wanted to kind of coordinate that, and obviously, you know, the ladies and Matt will talk about the guidance plan that has been developed. But it really, when we met and we discussed a lot of what we thought issues were that we needed to help other people with, was basically that we would like to cultivate a culture of planning and perseverance. Planning is especially very, very important for what we're really looking to do, to make our kids college and career ready. So to cultivate that culture, you know, we have a myriad of things we're going to do. I'm going to explain what I did at the middle school or what I do at the middle school. But I think the one major thing we want to stress is how hard it is to get to Auburn University, to get accepted there, to present yourself in the most positive light to college. It requires a lot of planning. It requires a ton of perseverance and grit and determination. And that's kind of where we want to go with this. So at the middle school, you can see my goal. I work with grades 6, 7, and 8. I'm the only counselor down there. And really what I try to do in 6th grade is develop the academic self-concept. How do I feel about myself? What is my work ethic? And what does all that mean come 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th grade? So really, the start off with getting to know who I am. What is a counselor? For a lot of them, they have exposure to a psychologist and social worker. But what does the guidance counselor do? So I explain the role. We deal with personal and other problems, but really it's career planning. It's college and career readiness types of programs that we do. The transition to the middle school, I know Melissa does a lot of that. We have students coming in. There's a lot of connection between the middle school and the elementary school. Many, many years ago, I used to actually be the counselor that came down here, and really I thought my main focus was developing that academic self-concept. I used to come down to the elementary school and work on student success skills. So I think it's of the utmost importance. We can't get a kid to Auburn University or anywhere else unless they have real good study skills, all right, student success skills. I use what I call the blueprint for success. It's really just a executive functioning study skills program. And I try to introduce that through classrooms at the 6th grade level. The teachers obviously teach it every day. Parents are obviously very important in that. But again, I think they need to hear it from someone like myself, because by the time they get up to grades 9, 10, 11, 12, I'm hoping to have all of that in place so then they can do a lot of the career and college work that they do. So really what I do is I try to encourage perseverance, responsibility, and grit. The foundation of what builds a student. To me, you're not a student unless you have all of that stuff. Okay, and I think it's very important that they get to the high school by that point with that type of thought process. I also assist students with attendance, behavioral, academic, and adjustment difficulties. We had a full day today, didn't we, Melissa? All right, so pretty full day. I didn't have a lot of time to prepare this, but we had a full day. But that's part of the job, and we love that stuff. It encompasses, you know, team meetings, parent meetings, CSE meetings, scheduling meetings, DASA meetings, and really that's where I start with the 6th grade. I do start career planning because I tell them, and all of the things that you're doing here are important. You need to get that going. One of the first questions I ask the students is, how many of you want to go to a four-year school college? They all raise their hand. 100% of them in 6th grade. So that's a positive thing, and that's where I want to start my career planning. Talking about that blueprint for success. So again, those shirts are appropriate today. I usually spend anywhere from 5 classes with 5 different presentations, 25 different visits to the elementary, 6th grade group. I wish I had time to do a lot more. That's something we'll talk about when we talk about future planning. But that's pretty much the 6th grade.
So that's your one-on-one visits with 6th grade students are effectively when there's a behavioral issue or some issue.
Exactly.
Your here's how we grow and here's what we want you to do are through the class presentation. Right. So there's no one-on-one unless there's that.
Right.
Now, there's also, tell me if I'm wrong, there's also one-on-one if they have multiple failures. You have those meetings.
Yeah,
I can get other meetings one-on-one.
Right.
Other than behavioral.
Assisting students with academic attendance and behavioral difficulties is probably the most time-consuming part of the job. So let me backtrack a little. There are with the guidance plan, there is group counseling and group presentations and individual counseling. So, and again, that pretty much takes up the whole year. So a lot of the individual stuff is personal, whether it's academic in nature, attendance. We're going to print all those reports up this week and then start our meetings with parents and teachers. Seventh grade, really want to get going with career exploration and self-assessment. I just finished working with Mr. Shabbat's class, doing the initial presentation. We've talked about self-assessment, what it means, how it really, what it means somewhere down the road. You know, we talk about college preparation already. We're talking about making plans. Obviously, a career plan. We talk about college majors, annual reviews during the education
process.
What does
that mean, career plan? Like when you say in seventh grade, we're talking about a career plan. What does that mean?
New York State CDAS credential, objectives basically say we should have a discussion with all grade levels in career development, making a plan for the future. All right, that not only hits the special education department with through CSE meetings, but it should be with the general public also. So basically it means we talk to them, we help them work through things, we actually use the computer lab frequently for that, and they do searches about who they are, what they're all about. Okay, it's something called Holland's Code, which is a personality type. I tell kids that once we find out who we are and we get a little assessment of who we are, then we know where we can go. So they answer basically three questions at the end of the exercise. Who am I? What type of person am I? Okay?
So is that something the teacher does, or do you take that class?
No, I pretty much lead that class. The teacher's there, and the teachers have been great letting me in there, and right. They're very helpful. But it is a counselor-led program. So, again, it all kind of leads into one thing. After you do career planning and self-assessment, you do annual reviews, and it continues during the year with college searches. They actually get on the college board, the 7th and 8th graders. They look at what tuition is. They look at what room and board is. They look at what minimum requirements for acceptance are. They look at the SAT scores, the ACT scores. And most recently, the past couple of years, I've actually been doing college scholarship searches with the kids. So I started with the 6th graders the other day, and I said, who wants to make $100,000 by the time they get out of 12th grade? All the hands are going up. So how do we do that? Obviously, we do that through academics, all that perseverance we're talking about, that grit, that blueprint for success. And that's done, in part, by what they do academically. And I tell them, academic scholarships are far more available than any athletic scholarship. And I can show more examples of that as we go through.
So when you go into seventh grade class and you talk about career planning and college search information and scholarships, what percentage of them get? Like, understand where you're going. I understand they all want to make $100,000, but put two and two together to get something else.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, what they have to produce for me and the teacher for a grade afterwards, because we want to put something attached to it, is they have to produce a PowerPoint or an essay related to the research that they've done about careers, about what colleges cost and how do you get in, what are the admissions requirements. So I think they get it. I don't think I brought any samples of that, but I can bring those in at any other time, but some of the PowerPoint presentations are just spectacular with what they do. And, I've had kids that reported on veterinary, and of course they all want to be athletes, right? But they say you always have to pick two. You can't pick the athlete only. I'll let you do that and research it, but you have to give me one really academic type of program. I was just looking at one today as I was thinking about coming in here. It was about a marine architect, and the student just did unbelievable research into what it's entailed in the job, what type of preparation do I need, what is the high school courses that are important that are significant there. And I'll tell you what, by far one of the better ones I've seen in many years. So I think they get it.
University of New Orleans has one of the best programs.
So if I'm a kid sitting in that class, when you're saying, here are all the different opportunities, what is it? I'm on the web and they're just different types of jobs. How is that presented?
It's presented them through websites. We have five or six, VLS.gov, which is the Bureau of Labor Statistics. I use a website called My Next Move. New York State sponsors Career Zone. The College Board website, they are active on. There's a handful of others. Yeah, I think I get it, because what I do is I give them an exercise. It's about 6 pages in length, and they have to go through the websites and pick out all of the little fine details that I'm looking for. So I want them to get it. So first it's about who I am. You know, what type of person am I? What are my interests? What are my likes? What are my dislikes? What are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? We discuss all that in length. We talk about work values. They give them examples about those people that want to make millions of dollars. Right? And of course, working with people. Some people want to work with their hands. Obviously, we see the artist was, you know, that's a big push for a lot of our kids. So with that saying, it's, you know, it's a little difficult to explain here. I can always come back again and show you in detail all of the writing that they do and some of the end results. But I think they get it.
Let me just say, having a daughter that's gone through it, she came home so excited after your presentation, looking into the colleges and finding where she fits in best. So yeah. At least my daughter went away to...
Yeah, she got something out of it, I think. I think most do. And again, does it take a little work? Does it take a little hard work? Sure. Thank you very much.
Do you meet with parents? I mean, I see you have teen parents, CSC. Are you meeting with 7th grade parents and the 7th graders at that point, or not yet?
I wish. That is kind of one of our plans, is we'd love to do that because of time constraints. It doesn't always happen. It does happen at CSC meetings. CSC meetings, we do talk to our parents about planning for the future. Sometimes the kid is involved in that, but I always bring the information that we have done with our special education students related to career planning. So I wish we had more time for that, but it's just a time constraint.
So a 7th grader is going to take 8th grade algebra or science. Their parents don't come in, so they'll go through their schedules with them. It's just, how does that happen?
Well, I mean, the recommendation process comes from the teacher.
Right.
The teacher knows the student better than anybody. Then we obviously look at the end result, which is all of the grades, quarters 1 through 4. And then what we do is we generate a list. That list, if there's any questions about students' placement, the parents are definitely involved in that. But most of the time, it's a process that just goes through the school, through the teacher, through the guidance people, and the principal. So anyway, apologize for that. Team parent CSC meetings, you know, and again, I'm just giving you an overview of where most of my time is spent. And it takes a little longer to do the career exploration and self-assessment. It's about 30 to 40 class periods. And, you know, that again, I thank the teachers for letting me in there. There's really no other way to deliver it other than a group type of presentation. All right, well, the goal for...
I did it twice. Eighth grade really quickly.
All right, so the 8th grade basically would gear enough for high school. Again, we continue academic success skills, importance of academic achievement. The annual review is a process in which we discuss their educational and career plans. That is usually done through the social studies classes at Mr. Bolger. We do that with each student. Instruction, again, I teach them about careers, and then they go out and research careers. So, again, there's the exercise is about 5 to 6 pages in length. Working with students, again, to demonstrate academic or behavioral attendance issues. Transitional planning and goals for students with IEPs. That takes a little more time, okay? That is mostly individual. It could be, you know, a small group, but we make sure that students with IEPs are getting the attention they need and the planning that's required. And again, we developed that action plan for high school. Many discussions about why English, social studies, math, and science is important, how it impacts them, and, you know, and of course, the students' future plans. And again, that usually takes anywhere from 8 sessions or 5 periods a day and 40 sessions.
So do you have any, even in 8th grade, are we one-on-one with each student and parent or not yet?
Well, I do it through the social studies classes, but I take the time to go around to each particular student and spend some time with them.
So if I'm an 8th grader and trying to decide if I want to do the work to get a, you know, an advanced Regents diploma, I'm not, there's no kind of sit down and discussion on why an advanced Regents diploma is good, how it will help me perhaps get into a better college. One-on-one. That's late.
I'm going to defer to
They wouldn't really know.
Yeah.
They might know maybe if they're going, if they're accelerated.
But if you're accelerated, aren't you starting that path in eighth grade?
You're better prepared at that time because you could have, you can achieve that goal quicker. You can still achieve it if you begin in ninth grade in those classes.
Right.
But the goal is to get as many students as we can in the accelerated classes. And we tripled the number in earth science, doubled the number in algebra one. So the question is, when we get down to the to really the last 6 or 7, you know, are they placed correctly?
Right.
But as far as the school district is concerned, we want them to take that leap of faith, and we certainly push them.
Are any districts introducing eighth graders to Naviance?
We got on board.
Okay.
Just had all the students uploaded. So yes, that's one of my plans with eighth graders this year, is to introduce them to Naviance and get them familiar with the website. I will continue to use the other websites that I use because I think there's tons of information. BLS is, you know.
No, but it's nice to have that tie-in.
Yeah.
How are you going to confirm that they're doing it? Because, you know, what we've heard is before, and we talked about this, you know, they've got it, they've got their passwords, you talk to some kids, oh, I don't know about it, and not saying that it's anybody's fault, it's just there's not that tie. How do we...
Well, I'll just tell you what I'm going to do, and again, they can follow up with them. You know, years back when I used CareerZone, I would always sign up and start a portfolio for the kids on CareerZone. It's an electronic portfolio, and they would actually get on there, log on, put in their, you know, their...
Right.
You know, their general information, and it would keep track of the searches that they did, the career searches that they did, the college searches that were performed, and any other anecdotal stuff that was in there. In that website is the New York State Career Plan. It's basically, I do that, and, you know, I do it on paper first, because computers aren't always reliable and or up and running the way we like it. So I do it on paper, and it answers the three questions that I just talked about before. Who am I? Where am I going? And how do I get there? You know, who am I? They have to kind of get a feeling of who they are, what they like, what they dislike. We talk about academic classes. We talk about strengths and weaknesses. We talk about work values. What do you want to get out of work? All right. Some people want to work with the hands. Some people want to work with, with people, you know, and data and stuff. So we go through that. I explain to that in detail. That's just what I did with Mr. Shabbat's class recently. In detail, I can send that to the board if you need, about what's in that presentation that I do. Then they're led along step by step, day by day, for about 5 to 6 days on different websites. All right. When I go back on the 28th of Mr. Shabbat, I'm going to get on something called My Next Move. I'm going to show them how to do an interest inventory for 7th graders. They're going to go through the interest inventory. It's going to give them a description of who they are, what we call Holland's Code. Then they know, all right, I'm a type of person who wants to work with people, because I've already given them examples about education, counselors, nurses, things like that. I give them examples about people who like to work with their hands and how well they do. There's a whole market of jobs out there for people. And again, their job, and I lead them along, is how do you prepare for that? What does high school mean? How does that fit in? But again, it's all about starting with the process of learning who you are.
So I'm all about the internet, and I think there's an enormous amount of information. Do you think there's any value, though, in having, and I'm trying to think of the right words, but people in roles come in and talk to them in certain ways, shapes, or forms? I mean...
You mean like a career fair type?
What did you say?
Yeah, a career fair? Or something
not
like
not necessarily like people seeking jobs, but more like... You know, this is what it means to be a doctor in 2016.
Yeah, that's what we have done. We've done that in the past.
Teacher, you know,
right.
Yeah. I mean, I just think sometimes you spend all day on the internet and you learn, and some of it's great, some of it's not. If you have somebody stand up there and say, I teach all day, every day. Here's what it means. Here's what you should be thinking about. Some parts are great. Some parts aren't. I don't know.
I have done it in the past. I have. You know, we've done it through a lot of different with a lot of different help. So I've done that before. I don't think I got as much bang out of my buck as I wanted to out of that. It's just my personal feelings on that. What kids do in 7th and 8th grade is they actually develop a PowerPoint about their chosen career.
Right.
They get up, they present. 30 students in the class, 29 students in the class, they hear about what it takes to become an architect, an engineer, a doctor, you know, a sports player, whatever it is. So I think with the way I've been doing it, I've done the career fair, and I don't think I got a lot of bang out of it. Kids introducing it to other kids, I think I got seem to be getting a lot more out of that. And again, it's a work in progress. Every day, every year, I change it a little and I tweak it. But I think what I'd like to do one of these days is maybe bring a student in, have them do their PowerPoint presentation and show you what they've done. Because I think that would be much more powerful than anything else I could probably
We should
show.
Do that in April.
And Mr. Right. Are you,
I've been trying to do it. It's just been a very difficult, it's a tough time of the year.
But I think in April, May, we come back and kind of tee this off. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I have kids that are willing to do it.
Yeah.
And Mr. The Naviant, so you're going to double check and make sure every student gets on it this year, which is
right.
a great accomplishment.
Yeah.
So you're going to make sure
the students are uploaded. Mm-hmm. I think. Yeah. So once they're uploaded, then we can actually get them on there and make sure they understand what it is, what it's used for, and how important it is. Okay. And there will, and you can probably explain how they keep track of the data. We used to have a program called Guidance Direct years ago, and I can go on as an administrator and I can see who was on it, what they were researching, I had their log on and their password, so in case they forgot it, I can go back. So there's ways
you'll
to
have,
do it.
Yeah, you'll have the same
Right, and my son used Naviance, on his way to college, so I have a familiarity with it. So anyway, you're up, buddies.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. I appreciate that.
So coming from middle school, where really the academic plan is really has been started for an eighth grader, and again, whether they are accelerated or not, we can talk a little bit about that a little bit later. But really, and I feel like too, when students and parents are at the eighth grade orientation, that's kind of like when Mr. Caswell begins to really talk about all of the options, what's available, how to set your goals high, and sort of gives a plan right to the parents going into that, ninth grade year. This is what it would look like. So he does, that's kind of at an orientation, but sometimes I think that it's a lot of information at one time. But each student really does have their own plan. This is more like middle school guidance. This is so
next.
So every single student does that plan that you're talking about. Every student has that PowerPoint presentation or...
Well, they do that. Yeah, this is our goal. This is our goal.
Yeah.
My goal, our discussion prior to coming in here was, what are our frustrations knowing where we want kids to be? We want kids to accept it in four-year schools. We want them attaining scholarship money. We want them being happy with their choice. And, what is the problems they were running into and how can I help that? Establishing the four-year academic plan for all eighth grade students at scheduling time, we did it years ago, and then it just, when we moved to the middle school, it kind of dropped, fell by the wayside. I think it's probably very, very important.
So how do you do that? So that's how do we have that?
You actually do that through either individual or group presentations. Mm-hmm. There's a little sheet of paper that says, all right, let's start projecting. I would love the high school people to help me out with that because they're more privy to the electives that are available and the levels that are out.
And actually, Mr. Caswell and I do this. Melissa lets us come in, and we do this mid-year eighth grade in January, and we go into all the classrooms, the two of us, for the day, and discuss all of this. What the high school's like, what kind of courses do you want to take? They have a scheduling sheet in front of them. We go through it every course.
And we do that, but I would like to, again, I think our discussion is let's take it one step further and let's plan. All right? three of my boys went to college. As soon as they sit down, there's a four-year plan about how to complete your degree in a reasonable time. I think we need to do that here at the middle school and high school.
So is that starting now, or like what do you think?
We're going to do it.
So like, you're like a flow chart, you say?
It's basically a flow chart, right?
Yeah, gotcha.
It's in the handbook, but I think it needs to really be worked.
So instead of showing them just that first kid, I know what session you do go with Mr. Caswell,
right.
You go to the eighth graders, you speak with them, you do the scheduling, parents sign off on that,
right.
And you're saying go off to the senior and do an entire flow chart so
right.
They have a plan throughout.
Right, in the eighth grade class. Right.
Back it up. Here's where you need to be, work backwards, here's what you have to do today.
Right.
So you'd be able to see if you're going to get an advanced regional diploma.
Right. And again, if we backtrack, and that's a lot of the discussions I had with the sixth graders already. And the seventh graders heard it just the other day, and they're going to hear it for another week straight.
So your seventh grade, what you're saying is this is your goal. You're saying your seventh graders, because you would do it, as I understand, for eighth grade, which means you're doing it at the end of the seventh grade year, have their goals. Perhaps some of them will start their regions, some won't.
Right.
And that's...
Right.
And really, what we really need to make kids and parents understand, and I think this is really important, is that in seventh grade, going into eighth grade, and making a plan, it's not just, oh, I want to take art, science, and algebra. I feel really strongly about this. I feel that you're setting kids up for failure. I know you may not like this, if they're not going to perform well. You know, they have to understand, like, this is what I think is so important, that if the plan is that you have the grades and you have the stamina to take algebra and neuroscience in eighth grade, then really the plan is to continue. You want to take science for 5 years. You want to take math for 5 years. That's the point. The point isn't that you're going to, by the time you hit 11th grade, I'm done and I'm just going to take college algebra. Not that that's a bad course. It's a good course. But the point is really that the goal is to take either AP Calc, at least get through pre-calc. And they need to understand that. Like, that's the goal. You're not just starting early to start early. And for earth science, same thing. Your plan is, the reason you're taking earth science is by the time you hit your junior, senior year, your goal is to take AP Bio, AP Chem, AP Environmental, if you can. Not to take, like a bogus elective.
Right.
Like, I feel really strongly about that.
Yeah.
So I would love to be able to really convey that, because I think parents really need to understand that kids, they don't always know.
Right.
But it's really, really important.
And to get to that, this is something that we talk about a lot, because one of the pitfalls that we face, unfortunately, is when you do an accelerated kid in eighth grade and they're not ready, you have to understand that they have now missed all of Science 8 and all of Math 8. And those skills that they cover in Science 8 and Math 8 are vital. And what happens when those kids accelerate into Algebra 1 and they're not ready and they're pushing through the Algebra 1 and they're hovering in the 70s and they're now missing Science 8 and Math 8, those kids aren't even successful in chemistry. Because they don't know how to measure. They don't know, they don't have basic skills that they should have learned in Science 8 and Math 8 because they were in Algebra and they were in Earth Science.
Can I ask how would, like, this kind of conversation, is this happening with parents? Because as, like, you know, you're a seventh grade mom or dad looking for eighth grade, when do those, like, that, this kind of conversation, when are we having this, that with
sometimes
parents?
It will happen in June, at the end of eighth grade, going into ninth grade. It's like, well, your kid doesn't really have the grades to go on. Maybe we should, you know, put them on a level that would be better for them, where they can be more successful. But they don't want to hear it. They want their kids to continue. And I get it. I understand that. But it's not the right placement. And so it becomes
We do have a night where it's explained better, you know, because I don't think parents and students necessarily understand the repercussions of how it could affect them.
They can't see that.
Some are definitely very ready for that. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. We know the kids that are really, really ready, and then there are some marginal kids who say, yeah, then try it. But it just, we can talk about this in a few minutes, but... It really is disheartening when you have a student, say, struggle a bit in eighth grade accelerated courses. Then they really struggle in ninth grade geometry and living environment, and it gets worse and worse and worse. And it does happen. And that's really concerning because we are setting that student up for failure. They're not going to get into a good four-year school because they've dropped off. And it does happen. So it's a big concern of ours. So
do we have that data? Do you have data that shows, you know, here's where they are, the low, you know...
Yes, he has done a lot of that.
Oh, yeah, Mr.
Math. So right now, so you just finished the first marking period in math, and I'm sure that if a student's there and is seriously struggling in math, they have the opportunity to move. I know they have the extra lab class, though, right? Yeah. So they have the extra, actually, lab and a half.
Well, you can't,
right?
Once you're accelerated, you can't move. If you're in geometry, you're in geometry. Yes, you can go to a lab.
No. If you're in eighth grade,
you certainly
could move. If I were in a class that's a Regents level course and I got a 50 and I was really struggling, I certainly now for the second marking period could move into math 8. Am I correct?
Yes. But that's a numbers game too, because as Josh said earlier, if you have 3 sections of earth science, you've got how many sections of science 8?
Two.
So you have 10 kids in those 3 sections that are doing well, and you have nowhere to put them.
You know, if you have the numbers and the data, I have the data because I know I studied a lot.
Oh,
I'm sure you guys do as well.
Let me just ask you.
Ms. Rayburn's question, you talk about Ms. Rayburn's question, what she's talking about is the small amount of students, because the majority of our students, our scores were absolutely fabulous last year. They were incredible in Mr. Shower's class.
That's kind of where I'm going, because as we looked at the earth science, we sat here and we said, we have a much broader class. And the score, I'm going to screw this up, the scores went up. With a broader class,
right,
the percentage in it, yes.
Yeah.
And the question
I think what the concern is we know what the math scores are and the earth science scores are. But our discussion was, like, what happens to that student, that accelerated student in 11th and 12th grade? What we're suggesting is we keep an AP class. And we keep them moving forward.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I think that's that. And again, I'm not up there. If you guys can speak for yourself, but I think that's what I got out of it.
You have to make it. Find a commitment to do it.
That's where my academic plan is. I want that academic plan to say, if you're an accelerated student, don't even think about getting that AP.
Right.
We want to challenge it.
And if you're not
it goes back to what I was saying
this
about
should be
perseverance.
Your goal.
Right.
It doesn't preclude you, and this is certainly my point with John Perez, it doesn't preclude you from starting in ninth grade and ending up in AP bio and pre-calculus and giving yourself an opportunity to get to a great school.
Right.
Because that senior year would still be just as fantastic because those opportunities are still there. So it's not just, you know, that section of accelerated kids, but the non-accelerated kids that are in science 8 and that are in math 8 that's doing the work and getting that skill set is setting themselves up to pass physics and to pass chemistry and to pass pre-calculus. You know, and that's the goal.
All I'm trying to say is it is a big decision in my eyes.
So that's why big decision, whether the ideology is one way, you know, from what you're saying, or you know, what we're saying, wow, we're getting more in, we're giving more the opportunity, and the numbers are better. It seems that discussion needs to go on, student, parent, before decisions made one on one. Where, you know, if you have a bunch of parents sitting in a room, first of all, you're going to have, you know, not the full gamut show up.
Right. I don't know how you do that one.
The more concern for the students, the last 10 students, we watch very closely.
Exactly.
So we're watching those 10 students having discussions with those parents to say, look, here's the situation.
Right.
You know, it looks like if you take the leap of faith, we think you could be successful. But we're a little nervous because this is what your record show.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to watch you after the first marking period if you choose to go in it. If you don't as a parent and child, then you don't have to go into it. But if you do, we're going to watch you very closely and then pull you back if you think that, you know, you're a little bit too...
Melissa and I have done that painstakingly, and it's you know, those kids, again, we talked about the third section in earth science, very, very important, and really look at that, and we have met with those people individually, we've talked to them on the phone, we've had conflicting recommendations, earth science and AIS.
And you should never be accelerated.
Earth science and reading.
Sure.
But, you know, we have to, you know, we had several, we didn't call every student on that list, but with the last 10 or 15, we definitely spoke individually
during the summer
with them, gave them
late June. We'll have the 7th grade science teacher, 7th grade math teacher, which I'm happy myself, the student, and meet with the parents. And also, it used to be where if you were in algebra, you had to be in our science with the same blocks number of students.
Right.
And Mr. Pavillon met and changed that because we had students that we saw that really excel in science or really excel in math. Most of the time, it's the same group of kids, but there are instances where There was a strong recommendation in math and not so in science, or a strong recommendation in science and not math. So they're not mutually exclusive. You can be a goal.
You can, but I just worry that if they're in chemistry and they don't know math.
See, the data, talk about the data. We don't have the data from the you know, we were historically one earth science and one math. We don't have the data because it's only happened 1 year.
Right.
In 4 years, we'll know how those kids are and what they're in.
But we should be able to look at.
I would love to
be able to look at the entire data from other places now, other districts.
Well, you know what? The reason I feel very strongly about this is
it's hard to compare other districts. With this, because again,
East Mauritius, this is why I feel very strongly, because East Mauritius, they were accelerating all of their students, and I get them all who come to our school. And so many of them, they would call me and say, I took algebra in eighth grade, but I failed the regents, and I failed the earth science regents. So my suggestion is, you're going to retake it. There's no way. So they fortunately have taken a step back, and they are not accelerating all of their students, thank goodness, because it was really a disaster. For some kids, you know, not all of them.
But that's why they paired back over these three.
Yeah. So I've seen all of that. So that's why I feel so strongly, because it was really, really difficult. Because then at that point, a student's going to repeat the two same courses. We don't have to talk about that.
My colleague and I actually talked about that.
Yeah.
We'll start the same year. He had 100%, and I had one section, and he had 100%. So they're opposite ends of the spectrum. And we actually kind of coordinated that, and he said, you know, I need to scale back, and we need to push up, and we're kind of
in
the middle of it.
So,
interesting.
Yeah.
So how do you, at the high school, how do you break up students? Is it by alphabet or?
By alphabet,
okay. And do you work together, the four of you work together as a unit, or is it pretty much high school and middle school separate?
Pretty separate.
Is there a reason for that? I mean, it seems like it's a plan soup to nuts, especially as we're looking in seventh grade.
Well, I'll get calls occasionally about students and, you know, what interventions we've made over the course of 3 years, but, you know, it's a different animal. Middle school is, you know, what it is, and the high school is a different animal. Doesn't mean we can't do that. And I think this has brought us together, and we're kind of looking to do this type of thing. That 4-year plan, I think, is a very, very important first step for all 8th grade students, because we want to make sure we know what they're in, where they're going, and again, our real life, you know, but the real focus is to improve college and career readiness. That's the main focus. And with that college and career readiness will come all those other things that we love, scholarships, opportunities, you know, other things that kids will do. And again, I go back to 6th grade, talking about perseverance and grit and hard work and responsibility. It's all about what we want to do. We want to get that message across about how important it is to have the little academic grit, because then when they get to these guys, at least the discussion was had, and then they can continue it.
Now, I'd like to see, when I've talked about this on the high school level more, but as I think about it, kind of going through what you do, both in the web searching and, you know, there's a ton of summer programs out there for kids, and it's not just high school level, it's down, and they start younger than fifth grade, but I don't see why there's any reason that we can't provide that information to them. You know, in your face-to-face in classrooms, you know, as you want to go out and evaluate different types of careers, if you're interested in being an engineer, here are these five programs at these colleges. People may opt not to go. You know, they're not always cheap, but there are scholarships. It's just something I think we should look at and think about.
Oh, no, it's out there. We've done it over the years, and we used to send groups of women in science over to Brookhaven Lab.
Yeah.
It became a logistical problem. Busing is an issue.
We don't have to do it. It doesn't have to be.
No, I'm just saying these are things that are out there. We've sent kids to Harvard programs during the summer, and that's a great thing.
Phenomenal. And it could be in the middle school level. It's not.
2 years ago, we sent the young man to Notre Dame.
Yep.
You know, again, the family was very involved in wanting to do that. I wrote the recommendation. They paid for it. They had a great experience.
But is that the family coming and saying, hey, we want to do this, or is that us as kind of the leaders in this area saying, look at all these different opportunities. This will help you figure out where you want to go. That's kind of what I...
It is something. Years ago, when I was at the high school, I used to write the EdTide, which was kind of a guidance newsletter, mm-hmm. and we would put those things in every month. We really didn't get a lot of... deep takers on that.
Right.
If we had searched them out, like the careers in the women in science careers, we went after those girls because we highlighted them and they were good students and they were motivated people, and you know that's what Brookhaven the lab was asking us to look for, and we pretty frauded that many a time.
It would be interesting if you tie it in with what Mr. Jeans is doing with the science, you know, with the science programs, and just kind of look and think about in the parents.
Yeah.
A lot of it is age determined. I have two students working with me right now that went to William and Mary for an athletic training summer program, and they're actually working with me doing some, you know, volunteer hours, and you know that's a great thing. You know, it was a maturity thing, it was an age thing. There are a lot of programs for 8th and 9th graders, very few for 6th and 7th graders. As they get older, there's many more opportunities. You guys probably see more of those.
Years ago, I don't know if they even still do it, but years ago, there was Johns Hopkins program.
Yes, still
and that's for younger kids, because I know my middle one was in elementary school, and if you scored in the top whatever percent, then you went and took a test. In Nashville, we had to go, and if you scored in that, then you were accepted into their programs. Again, expensive. I mean,
it was expensive, and they had to take the SAT in order to qualify. They had to have a certain qualifying score on the SAT.
But it was something that would generate opportunities, and so we still send names into the program or whatever.
We haven't had any interest in that.
I think we could do that. Because one of the things, Wendy, I know exactly what you're saying. We just had a meeting the other day because a certain organization wants us to nominate students for their program, and then they want the parents to pay several $1,000s to go to their program. And we all sat as a group and said, "Well, what do we do now? And do we just call the parents on the side of the ones we think? What about the financial part of it? Is there just a business for these people? Are we pushing them to what? How much do we know about the program?
The program, Johns Hopkins, in that there was no money up front.
So I think what we need to do is this.
I think that there's a value in making the information available. I agree with what you're saying, as some of these are run to make money. And that's not what I'm talking about, but I think we need to figure out a way to make the information available to them throughout so that they have the same opportunities.
Right.
You know, that's all. That's the only place I'm going. There are great programs and there are bad programs. We're going to come to community questions later, so we'll hold those.
And also, just so you know, when things come across our desk, because we get emails from all of these different, you know, agencies, especially if a student and or a parent had ever expressed maybe an interest in a particular area, we always call students in and say, would you be willing to do, there's a week seminar at the police academy, actually, for those students in 11th grade in their summertime if they're interested in going to that.
As long as we're making that something, because and not having the parent knock on the door, because I can say I'm relatively involved with what's going on here. There's a lot of stuff that I don't know about, you know, and it's just nice to be able to see that and say, you know, that's an interesting. So, thank you.
From last year, we had discussed some of our goals, and this year, now that we are into, I can't believe it's like end of November almost, we had a fall college fair, September 27th. We had 140 college admissions representatives come, and it was very successful.
How many kids came?
We invited really every class that could come down. We asked the 10th, 11th, and 12th to come down. I mean, the gym was full of kids and asking questions, and I think a lot of kids got a lot of like really.
So they got to see 140 different college representatives, set up tables,
for an hour and a half,
brochures, and understand.
And we've had this in the spring over the past, and now you will have added another one because that was one of your goals, and you've done that.
It seems like the fall is the right time when they're starting to think about it. You know, the spring, everything's due.
And we're also available to walk around
and help facilitate conversations with the kids because they don't know how to approach a college rep. So I think just having that type of proactive conversation as a 10th grader, hey, like they have never even heard some of that stuff. So you could honestly say, like, they're looking around like this is, you know, they're out of whatever class they're in, you know, and they have no idea. But hey, look, somebody's actually talking to you and you're going to introduce yourself and this is what you're going to do. And sometimes it's just social graces that they're getting acclimated to seeing that early on in the process. So I think that was really helpful for a lot of our kids, just having that, you know, a little bit of facilitation, some nervous seniors. They're like, I don't know where I can go. I don't know what they can do. This is my friend, you know, Melissa, whatever. She has this. You have a program that she's looking for, and you, like, set it up and just try to keep them going. So I think that was very helpful for our kids, because these big fairs that we host at, like, Suffolk, Suffolk Community College, Nassau Coliseum, sometimes it's on a Saturday, and there's games, and there's a thousand things. And we do have kids go. And I know I had, like, two buses of junior girls that went, and they had, like, their boots marked and everything. But that's a special thing to go to the Coliseum and really, like, nail that out. It's a big task. So I think that this was really nice for our kids to have exposure to, and I feel like they were very happy about just even getting feedback. Like, wow, like, they felt unwanted. Now they're getting mail. Oh, I'm getting mail from this place. And, you know, that's still
it's
very...
It's opening your eyes.
Right. It's still
a little
very,
bit earlier.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But we had a discussion about inviting seventh and eighth graders to that college.
Right.
Also, and I will give them a list of exercises that they can... Ooh, sure. They know who they have to ask.
Yeah.
Four, you know,
yeah,
four
we'll
representatives, five different questions. We'll make it a project.
So the idea is there are going to be two. You're going to continue with the two.
Yes.
Fall, spring, year. Fall, spring. And how would you change it? Would you do anything to make it better in the spring?
No.
No, it's perfect.
Yeah. I do think it ran really well. I think security helped wonderfully. The building was really, it wasn't too, well, you know, you're talking about eliminating for an hour and a half or so. You're dumping a tremendous amount of students into the gym and having them circulate and be appropriate in there. I was really proud of our students for what they were able to do. The college reps were really happy to be there. And it was just enough time. It wasn't enough idle time where kids got a little goofy or anything like that. They really were efficient in and out of there and then back their respective way. So I feel like it was appropriate size for what our kids wanted to see and just efficient enough to have the exposure and enough, like without
any
making
military
it.
Captain?
Yeah, I was just going to say military. Well, military.
Military represents
yeah.
Recruiters.
Mm-hmm. Right,
yeah.
They were there too. But,
and what about like Naval Academy?
They don't like that. Sure. We don't really have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then were there any like Ivy League not represented for the same reason?
Yeah. We do have, I will tell you, just in terms of what you were saying before about being putting things proactively, you know, I just put on something on the e-board yesterday about, you know, University of Miami, if kids want to go, there's this program, you can go over the summer, it's a lot of money, but it's Miami, and sure, you know, you can go, it's wonderful.
On the e-board,
but we also have, there was also a little, like, mini Ivy consortium, which is really, when you're talking about Ivy League schools, you're talking about such a small percentage. I mean, across the country, you're looking at 1, 2, 3% acceptance rates at some of these schools, so at a school like Center, you know, we have a handful of kids, and I don't know if you remember one of my students that came to the previous meetings. We've been in close contact. I got that, and we're like, you know, how many kids do we really have at this level who are really, and parents that are really aggressive enough that they're like, we'll go to Jericho, we'll go to all these Syosset to go, and I emailed him. He was like, thank you so much, and great. So the more, my mantra with my kids is the more I know about you, the more I can help you. If I don't know anything about you and you've never come in,
often do we ask that question? How often do you meet with each of your kids?
It depends on the kids. Depends on the situation. Obviously, if we're dealing with transition kids, CSEs, things like that, it's a lot more often, a lot more common.
A general ed kid
It depends on the general ed kid. If it's a kid that knows exactly what they're doing, doesn't have any schedule changes and things like that, I'm probably going to meet once or twice a year. With a kid who's struggling academically, or the teacher's coming down and going, well, they're having some adjustment, touch base with them, or mom shooting an email, well, you know what, you know, his dog died last week, So
you have a face-to-face with every kid once or twice a year, regardless of...
Oh, yeah.
A one-on-one face-to-face.
Yeah. But the situations can be...
And it could be more. It could be 10 times.
Oh, absolutely.
But
it could be 25 times. And, you know, another one could be twice.
Now, but if you've got... And I don't know if I'm jumping in the presentation, but I'm just trying to understand. If I am, tell me. I'll back up. But if you've got that one-to-one, how are you working through it only once a year because the kid that got knocked on wood doesn't have any issues that requires more intervention? How are we kind of helping him mold or her mold that college plan?
I think that's one of our goals, is to really not just make it like a department issue, but really make it more cultural, get into the classroom. So that is something that we would like to kind of...
But you push
into
the
classroom. We do push into the classroom, but I think, like, in terms of getting, like, just having assimilate teachers, having more conversations about it, you know, just more awareness.
We go into the classrooms every year to plan, to first discuss all the courses available to them, and advanced research diplomas and what that means. And then we speak to the student individually to make their own plan of what they'll be taking next year.
Okay.
Every student.
Every student.
and are their parents? Like, I remember I went here, and my mom came to every one of my planning meetings.
We haven't done that anymore. Basically, we were doing it at night, and then it sort of got, like, a lot of people weren't coming in, so we stopped doing that. We do mail everything home. If a parent asks to come in, they're more than welcome to come in anytime.
Do they know that they have the option to come in? Like, are we proactively letting
them? That's a good question. Maybe they don't know that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not so worried about, and tell me if you think I'm crazy, but I'm not so worried about the parent that calls and says, I want to come in and meet. Because they're going to do right. that. And they're going to get, the squeaky wheel gets oiled. I'm worried about that parent who's, you know, doing everything they can, working as hard as they can to kind of figure it all out, and the kid's going to school and coming home and just not putting it all together. So if you have that one-on-one, like one time a year, so we have 600 kids in the high school approximately. I mean,
yeah.
You know, so 200 kids per counselor, approximately, by math, right? Yeah, 200 kids per counselor. I mean, it seems like you want a little more of that direct kind of one-on-one interaction with the mass than, and then I hear you on the others that need it. Of course, that's a key part of the job.
Right.
Does that kind of drive that kind of better understanding, especially earlier on? I don't know.
I honestly, like, I answer that this way. Our school is so small, our kids just drop in. They stop in. Other schools, that's never going to happen. They're not going to see them. My door is always open. If one of my students stop by and two of her, you know, Nina's kids are with them, they're all getting the same information. You see what I'm saying? So it's not just me feeding John. It's me feeding John, Joe, and Jimmy, because all three of them are coming together. So that's the kind of the way our school, kind of our school culture is. If Lisa has, you know, a group of girls, two of them might be mine. So it may not be my face, but they're getting the same information because we talk every day. So the information that Lisa's giving her students, she's giving my student too. You see what I'm saying? So, again, we're in the halls, we're in the classrooms, we're at soccer games, we're at wrestling matches. We talk to parents, we talk to kids in every single one of those venues. You know, we're at night events, we're at day events. If this isn't just a, you know, well, let me check off this kid, I've seen him six times. I could have seen that kid 12 times, but counted six. Because I saw them at the wrestling match. You know, mom, you know, saw me in the parking lot. I was like, oh my God, let me tell you, da 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 da. That's how our community is, because it is 600 kids. So I understand what you're saying. Numbers wise, it's like, oh, well, 200, you would probably see them more. We probably do. You know, that's a reality. I can walk out into my truck right now and kids are, you know, on their way over to Wendy's. You know, and it's like, hey, Mr. Mike, da 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 da. Next thing you know, you're talking about school stuff or sports stuff or parent stuff. So that stuff goes on all day, every day. It's not, you know, and it's between the three of us, or usually the four of us, because those are relationships that we have with our kids.
Parents is an interesting question, though, because I know we have the, and in most high schools, the traditional parent meeting the junior year.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's pretty much all standard.
Yes.
Would you have enough time to meet? Like, I agree with you, Mac, everything you just said. And I'm just curious, and I don't know how, you know, how beneficial it would be. You all are the experts, but would it be, because, like, we held skip meetings this year and last year, and we had to really box those in. And then at the end of the year, we all spoke and said, well, was that beneficial? Was it really worth it to, you know, hold, you know, 100 meetings each? Do you think, oh, do you have the time, number one, and is it beneficial? Could you say, well, in 10th grade, we're going to do that too? Oh, no, Russ, that's over the top. We couldn't possibly box them all in like that, or it might not be beneficial. I don't know.
I think sometimes there are just time constraints in terms of the amount of time of the year. Like, by the time we're in scheduling, we go straight from scheduling to annual reviews to our junior conferences. So sometimes the junior conferences and annuals could be our months.
And the fall is
right. And then the fall
is
senior.
What about conference day? What about teacher conference day? Because I know the teachers get to see parents.
Yeah,
one time, we have one meeting a year.
Friday, Monday, Tuesday, 3 days, one.
One.
Yeah.
So the teachers only see them once, unless you call them.
Yes.
And you all are there those nights as well?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But middle school is a little different because it's over 350 students.
Right.
It's a little more difficult to get individualized. That's why I do the group presentations, because I am going around to each one of those computer desks and I'm watching what they're doing and I'm talking to each one of them. So over the 42-minute period, I've got to each one of those kids and then I go around. We break into small little tables. I discuss the results of whatever work we're doing. They get up and do their PowerPoint presentation. I get to know a heck of a lot about them and we ask them a lot of questions.
So how long do you do that presentation? I like the presentation.
It's
anywhere from the class.
It's actually anywhere
anywhere from 5 to 8 days,
okay,
five periods a day. So I dedicate almost a week and a half to doing that type of work with the students. By that week and a half, I pretty much get to every kid.
Can you go back, Lisa, when you push in the classes, just so we understand when you're pushing the classes in,
okay,
in the other grades?
So in the month of January, the three of us go into every single grade, every single classroom. So every student, it's a PowerPoint. We go through the curriculum guide. We go through the flow charts of every subject area. And we do it by grade level. So we know today we're meeting with all 10th graders.
That's to help them schedule for the next year, pick the electives they want?
No. So that's just an overview of everything available to them. What kind of diplomas are they working towards? So it's in a classroom presentation, but that's how they learn about everything available and all the different goals they work towards. Then we sit with each student individually and plan out, okay, so you're in geometry honors, so next year your teacher recommendation is this. So then we sit down individually with each student to do that.
And that's in 10th grade?
Every year. 9th, 10th, 11th. Right.
Sometimes it's just so much information to give out, you have to give it out in a group presentation,
right,
and then individualize it. That's basically a
six-hour. Crazy. Could you allow a parent to come to that? Like, if we sent the message out saying, listen, we're going to be scheduling this week, speak to your child. I mean, they're in high school, and, you know, my kid's going to be seen.
Some parents, I can email a letter and suggest that, just like what Robin said.
Could you do it on scheduling?
We got an appointment. I've actually done scheduling with Robin.
So what we were doing though, because I'm thinking, why did that sort of die off? What was happening was we would do it in the evening. So we would come in, we would start at like 1 and end at like 8 or 9. But we didn't know how many people would respond. We had to plan it out, so we did 3 nights. And what was happening was a lot of people weren't coming in. So therefore, there was like this idle time because it's really their choice to come. We send a letter home, but if they're not coming in, we can't make them come in.
Right. And mind you, we've already allotted that day we're going to do a 12 to 8 or a 1 to 9. So
we're there.
Just like a parent-teacher conference.
Well, now they have a teacher-reacher, which is really nice, you know, where you can go out. You didn't have that back in the day.
I mean, we could be a teacher-reacher.
Counselor-reacher, though.
Yeah. That's fine.
So you meet with them each year individually, set up their schedule, but then you said you push in also just to talk about the curriculum.
Right, first we do that. So that's our fair.
What else do you push in?
So this year we did a push in for all the seniors, went through the college process twice.
All the seniors?
We did it twice. Well, first we pulled them into the library, connected them onto Naviance again and the Common App. And then we went into the classrooms to discuss the whole process.
So you pushed in twice to the senior class so far, just for the college process.
Just for seniors.
And we went into the ninth grade, all on the career and just profiles, so they were all on their Naviance. They were all logged into their Naviance already. We took all the English 9 classes, took them into the library, had them all log in and do a career age profiler.
And
into the library.
What I did differently this year was, after we completed our day, I mailed a letter home to all 9th grade parents stating that today we, you know, ask your child. Today we met with all of your 9th graders, we brought them into the library, and they completed this career interest inventory. So that they would know.
So they all know.
So that's something that I had never seen before.
Because last year they were complimenting.
Right.
Thanks. Good.
Right. So that was something that I had never thought about. That how would parents know that we're doing that? So
that's great. God, I'm sorry.
Yes, so I'm in the midst of planning an early spring visit to Marist College. So Kelsey Cavada, who graduated last year, she is an ambassador at Marist College and helping. In fact, she even called my house the other night to talk to my son about coming to Marist. So that's what she's doing there. And so that's what we're trying to do.
So we're going
to
go.
Plan a trip. I was trying to think of the best time frame. They really have to give me the days that they're available to do this for students.
It's going to be open to who, though? Juniors?
Juniors. And then if for some reason we have more spaces, then I guess we can invite 10 players. But more likely for juniors.
Can we add another? If one is good, can we do...
Right now, they're focused on one really good quality.
but we don't know.
We can look at it as well. Maris is not the only.
We didn't do Stony Brook this fall. Last year we did an Adelphi, and to be honest, I didn't have a great turnout. We had like 10 students. So I have to rethink it. I want to plan one, you know, one away visit.
Yeah, I thought there was one away, and I thought there was one local.
Mm-hmm. We did two local last year.
Yeah, two local, right.
So now
and you didn't have students come? Is that what you're saying? They didn't come to the local visit?
We had a beg for students to go. We had to call them down
and say, colleges we chose,
because they don't want to miss, maybe they don't want to miss class. They can't miss Mrs. Thompson's, you know. So I want one quality visit.
Yeah. Lisa, can I just say, I'm sorry. Do the parents know about those visits, or is it only presented to the kids? Because I think, like you said before, sending that letter home, that's huge. Because a lot of parents don't know what's going on. Like, I work in the district, and I email you all the time, and I'm a pain in the ass parent. But I think a lot of parents don't know. And, like, I didn't know about the Adelphi visit last year. I think I would have made her go, because that's one of her choices.
Right.
So I think that maybe informing parents is a great step, is doing something, because kids don't tell us what's going on.
Right. You know? No, definitely for the Marist visit, I would definitely mail.
I think that's great. That's really important. Kids in high school don't
talk to their parents. So actually, we didn't talk about the Remind app, how it's another way to get the word out.
So this year, we also, when we pushed into all the senior 12 classrooms, I introduced Remind to every single senior, and Remind, and for those of you who are not aware yet, maybe with younger, I'm on Remind in kindergarten, Remind is an app that once they subscribe to it, I can send a generated text throughout the day. I send when college reps come, Hofstra, a representative from Hofstra is here, every senior who has signed up for, and it was that information was also mailed home to parents. So that the parents are able to be aware too. So not only does, you know, your daughter know, but now you've got seeing text that she did, that the fair is there now. So if you knew that Hofstra or the rep was there now, so if you knew Hofstra was going and Hofstra was on her list, you know, Carly, get down, that woman's there from Hofstra and you can go there right now. You know, so that way it's just that extra nudge, you know, to get students rolled in. That is something that I would like to roll out per grade level, but we felt like in the fall, start to get everything going, I feel like we're nagging. We always kind of like have to hound our seniors the most in terms of what they should be doing in an orderly fashion, in a timely fashion.
Do we tell them, what do we tell a senior about dates and what they have to do and how to do it?
We go into every, have that, originally we had that meeting at our junior conference. That's when we're laying out all of the nuts and bolts of the college application
think
process.
Think about how to write an essay, think about getting transcripts.
We also had a senior college information night. And we had a senior, and so we had a college representative from the College of New Jersey, and we had 16 people show. And I was really, really not only disappointed, but I have to be honest, I was really embarrassed.
Is it because we're not getting the word out, or because people are apathetic?
Everyone got a letter.
And that was new this year, right? That was
we've always done it, but right. This year, 16. It was really.
So how do we get that? How do we get people to understand this is important and this is? Because I think what you're doing is the right thing. How do we?
Well, I think the frustration. Let me talk. Many years ago, when I was the chairperson at the high school, we would mail. We were doing mailings like crazy. Remember? We were just driving them out there, getting the word out. I was sending home weekly newsletters. We were calling people. We were still getting a similar turnout. There's just a lot.
This was very unusual.
You know, it's just a lot. There's a lot going on in people's lives. Sports are going on. You know, people have to take care of young kids. You know, and it's not an excuse. But I remember being on answering the same questions many years ago at the board. This is how we're doing it. They actually, you know, allotted us a lot of money to do extra mailings and so forth. And we were still not getting enough bang for our buck again. It's just, so
you know,
you had mentioned Remind app. It's like everything else in the school district. It's like a board meeting. You know, how many people actually come to our board meetings? How many people actually go to the PTA meetings? People are very busy with it, and I agree with you.
I mean,
the thing is, with us, though, it doesn't mean we stop trying to find the right acts of great ideas in many ways to motivate parents.
That's why we make classroom presentations, because the word is out, you know, and if we get it right to the source, we're going right to the kids. But again, I think, you know, there's a lot of ways to communicate. I think this Remind app is something that teachers have been using for a few years.
I try to get feedback from the kids, like, how annoying is it when your text goes off and it's Mrs. Marino saying that they're so-and-so. It's like, no, it's fine. And deadlines, SATs, you should rest if you're taking a fall SAT, the SAT deadlines are now. If you are early action, please have your stuff into the office. Every time we talk about something, the three of us will say, like, you know, what's going on? I sent out a remind, financial aid night, 2 days, you know, like, oh, college night, all those things.
What actions
really
do we need to do? A kid is applying for financial aid. Do we, as a district, have to provide anything?
We held financial aid night on Thursday.
But do we have to provide it? Like, if you're applying for financial aid?
That's all very personal for him. We
so the only thing we do is really, like, what? Do we provide just a transcript? That's it?
No, we host a financial aid night. We have the director of admissions from St. Joe's come. Mm-hmm. She did a phenomenal presentation, and she really... gives her business cards out to for parents to say, like, if you need help, you don't even need to be a St. Joe's applicant, you can just call me. They're that good to us, and they really do. But it is very personal.
So that's for the financial aid. But what about the rest of the application process? Is there, we don't have to do anything with regard to essays? Do we have to we just certify graduation and transcripts
in the spring? The BOOSIS, Centerwards, I believe, is the BOOSIS. The enrichment, there's an enrichment group that has a college letter writing course that Mike Greer has or teaches. Yeah. And we went into every classroom. I can speak for, you know, the past spring, and I was like, guys, take this class, like, do as I say, and your senior year will be really a lot easier. You come in with your essay done, your senior year is just, it's just demographic information filling out that application. There's really not much, all the work has been done at that point. And I know that this year, well, last year, they only take like 15 spots. So, and we went in and it's like 15 spots and they're like up like that. So I think that like it would be great and we'll see in one of our upcoming goals how we can kind of work to improve that or what we would like to do to work to improve that. But I think just going through what our initiatives were for this year, I think we felt very successful with things that we've set forward last year and kind of met to accomplish this year. In terms of like holding the on-site admissions with Suffolk, we had a record number of kids come in. I think what I really do like and what I really do appreciate about Louise Johnson, who comes every year, she meets with us. She does, the woman has like bottles of water on desk, doesn't take a lunch break, busts through all of our students. She really does screen our kids for honors programs and talk to our kids about articulation agreements, which I think is something that when you're looking at when our kids are going to 4-year and 2-year schools, the articulation agreements that our kids have with Suffolk going in is huge.
What is that?
An articulation agreement is when students, let's say they're looking at the business program at Hofstra now, but really they don't have the grades academically or the finances at this point to get into Hofstra as an incoming freshman. Hofstra and Suffolk have an agreement, articulation agreements, and there's a book of them in terms of if they follow the Suffolk Community College curriculum, then with maintaining a certain average, they will seamlessly transfer to Hofstra's, let's say, 4-year business program as a student. So for our students, that's huge.
So they can go admission to Hofstra if you hit these conditions.
And at a fraction of the price. So for Suffolk, if you do a couple of the local scholarships, you could have Suffolk paid for 2 years and you're only paying for 2 years of Hofstra and you're ending up with the same you're standing up with that same 4-year degree, that same piece of paper of the kid who spent, you know,
does Suffolk have their other schools besides Hofstra?
There's a Hofstra. Yeah. I mean, there's everything.
And our kids know about that.
Our kids, and that's what I really do like about our on-site admissions. And that's something that when we talk about to seniors, like, all right, and even, you know, our top kids are like, well, maybe Suffolk Honors Program, because maybe I don't have what I have right now to get in, but in a semester, in a year, this is what I'm looking at. And I think those, knowing that those articulation agreements are out there is very important.
And here's the frustration. I sat with one of my seniors today who came in with, I want to go to Stony Brook, I want to go to Suffolk for 2 years. I'm like, okay, you realize Suffolk was here on November 3rd. Like, one side.
And we mailed a letter home.
We went through it. Now, here it is. 16th of November, he's coming and saying, oh, I want to, you know, I want to get involved in the articulation agreement with the, in reference to Stony Brook and Stony Brook, Suffolk and this and that. And so now your mom's going to have to pay for a Suffolk application when you could have come in, sat down, and that was done, and talked to the actual counselor about going to Stony Brook the following 2 years. Here's the frustration.
But I think parents didn't know that, because I've never heard of that, or to do articulation. So I think that more parents would have been... No, but I'm just saying, I think more parents would have pushed their child had they known about that.
That's something that happened at our junior college. That's a conversation that I have, and I go on and I show our students the document. All you have to do is go on and Google articulation agreement, so that way you can say, like, listen, are you looking at this program? Are you considering? Because sometimes they're like, we don't know what we're doing, maybe Suffolk. Well, great. Maybe you don't know what you're doing, maybe Suffolk, but look at what Suffolk has to offer. Look at these articulation agreements and then start having those conversations just like they're having with me.
Like Lisa said, I didn't know, I don't have a kid going to college, but I didn't know anything about that. I think it's interesting, and, you know, we talk about sometimes how do you make a kid college and career ready? Like, set them up so that they're going to be ready when they get there. Should we have to spoon feed them? No. But on the same token, you know, I can speak for myself, and Heather can probably attest to it. I wasn't ready at that time, right? So I think that there's that interaction of kind of, are we getting that information out to the parents in the right way? Our parents, should the kid have known? Yeah, you told them, of course. But are we saying to the parents?
This is the third child. This is the third son I've had. She knows.
Okay.
This isn't a matter of her not knowing. And I'm saying you're exhausted by the time you get to your third son, too. I get that part.
Yep.
Okay, but he knew because he came in and told me.
My point, though, is are we doing everything we can to help that parent who doesn't know get all that information?
I feel like
we invite them all up for a junior dance.
And you have college admission
for the parents to come with their children.
Right. So that's
we can always do more. It's not limited to just because there are a lot of graders, the whole school can come in. Right.
Yeah, Peter Van Busker.
Yeah, so we skipped over that. Peter Van Busker is really like the guru of college admission. So I had gone to one of his talks last year, and actually I had seen him speak, and then actually I brought Ed Caswell with me, and he was completely floored. I mean, he writes articles. I'm on his, I get his emails a couple times a week. So, and then my son actually took, and Ed's son did too, going into your senior year, or junior year really, he runs workshops where not only can you listen to him speak, but you can actually have your child participate in a full day workshop. It is expensive. But, I learned a lot from that event. So I think that, you know, Russ and Raina are very supportive of this because, again, he's not cheap, but we have committed to have him speak on March 15th.
So he's teaching you how to get into colleges or what to look for?
So he does run something where it just says basically, like, this is how you get into college. But I don't know if we've really, like, talked about this, but we've been, as a team, and more high school level, we've been a little bit frustrated with the amount of students who are basically coming in and saying, I don't really want to take this challenging course anymore. And they don't realize the repercussions, because you talk about trying to get into a good school, but if you're by 10th grade or 11th grade and you start to say, I mean, it happens every day. It's been, this year in particular, it's been really rough. Because what happens if a student comes in and says, I want to drop this course, or I want to go down a level. Our first, you know, obviously if that's what's right for the student, that's a whole different story. But if it's just them saying, like, I don't want to challenge myself, I don't want to do this anymore, the first thing that we do is then we call the parent and explain how important it is to take the most challenging road that you can. But when a parent comes back and says, no, I don't want my child doing that, and we argue with them, I mean, how long are you going to argue? The parent, exactly. So what Peter Van Busker, because I spoke to him about this, what he can cover, and again, I think they're talking about even inviting, you know, maybe middle school parents as well. I mean, everybody. We can invite everybody. There's no limit as to the number of people that can attend. And he can discuss, you know, getting into college, but what we've been trying to convey tonight is that it's not just,
okay, you're a junior going into senior year, how to get into college. It is this whole plan. And it takes a lot of strength and perseverance that we talked about in taking and really looking at it as a plan. Because if you don't, it's not just over 1 year. It's everything you've done. It's volunteer work. It's getting involved. It's being a leader. It's whatever it is that you do.
So it's important that our 8th grade kids are there. It's important that the 9th grade kids are there.
Right.
It's not just, so how are
right.
you going to, is it, what night is it?
March 15th. We have plenty of time.
How are we
going to
fill the room? Like every chair should be full. Right?
I think everyone's going to help.
How important it is. But that's
I can tell you what I can do for 8th grade.
Yeah.
All right. Because I think it's important, and we did discuss this. I will, Melissa will approve it. We'll just mail a letter home to each one of the kids. We can also do it.
We should make sure.
And what we're saying is right. This is great. Kind of exciting to me. We should get that out. And not just mail it. I don't mean that to be just
mail it.
Figure out
it on the
how to get everybody there. Get the kids excited about it. This is what you want to do. He's going to teach you.
Right.
You know,
and again, I'll have a captive audience when I do my 8th grade career work. Anyway, so it'd be a perfect.
But it will be in the evening, so parents have to come and bring their children. You know.
Yeah, right. But we'll put it in the district news article. Mm-hmm. We'll certainly have it on the website. We'll certainly do a Connect Ed.
We
can
show
the remind app. Right. We talk to all the parents.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be.
Well,
it's very
right.
exciting. Because again, it's not cheap, but I know we're really excited that we can host this. I have to just remember that we are going. I think I made the decision that we're going to close out other schools that they can't register to come. Is that okay? Because I really just want it to be our district. If we can invite East Marches, I'm good with that.
They're all schools.
So those are the things that we've been really working on this year.
Great stuff. So one more slide.
Yes. Okay. I think I talked about the second bullet a bit, how it's really important, and I don't know how even maybe the board, or I don't know how we convey to our community how important it is to not drop classes. It's this year it's been really, really difficult. And it's difficult when you have a student in your office who says, no, I'm not doing it. I am not taking this. You know, and then, you know, and I'm saying, well, I'm just your guidance counselor. Like, I can't make you. And
you're motivated. You're trying to encourage them.
Really, really.
And sometimes you get pushed back on encouraging.
I mean, we've had
That's sabotage. You know, they'll purposely not. You know, they're strolling late, or they don't do the homework. Or, it's like, oh, look, see, I have a 25 averaging on there. And it's like, not because you don't have time to make them work.
And I think we all do proactively really try to avoid that.
Just
by meeting with, I have 10th grade. I feel like it just happens because that's when Spanish starts getting harder. And it's really, you know, ultimately, like, they kind of look at Spanish and they're like, oh, I'm done. Like, now it's a lot of, like, the meat and potatoes. They have to do the grammar. They have to, there's teachers, like, only speaking in Spanish and they're forced to communicate back. And so sometimes I feel like they're like, oh, no, I'm done. I did this. I've had this for 2 years. We're done. And it's really that third year that ultimately when we look at college admissions, you need to have at least Spanish 3 if you're looking at anything plus for those ADRs, for everything else. Like, that's really what we're looking for, and that's what our goal is, to work with those students. But sometimes, so I've had, I can tell you, Jen Collette, a meeting with kids, like, no, we can do this, like, pumping them up in the hallway. No, see you there, 7th period. You're going to buy me another week. You don't want to come out right now. Right now you want to come out because it's a project due. Ms. Collette is going to give you a day. Next week you're going to go. And, I mean, we try to pump them up along, you know, on and on until I get that parent. No, I'm not fighting her anymore. She's out. You know, but I think it is. And at that point, you know, we lay our sword down. I'm not going to, I have to work with these families for 4 years, so I don't really plan on fighting much. But we try to amp them up and be as proactive as sure. we possibly can, and then I think at some level we do have to realize that. But I think ultimately what we do want to do, and usually when we do involve the parent and the teacher, we do try to keep, well, you know, proactively, I think we're trying. I brought Ed in the other day. I was like, Mr. Caswell's going to tell you how smart you are and how you belong here. And he said, I said, what am I saying? You're going to tell her that she's great, she's going to be in Spanish, she's going to do this. And he did. He jumped in and he did it. And ultimately that mom's like, absolutely, she's out. But you know what? I can say that I did every single thing I possibly could to keep that kid.
Can you have success stories on that end that you push somebody pretty
yes.
hard?
I have.
Stay
really
in that
good. Yes.
Back to you.
I,
thank you.
2 years ago, I had a senior, junior year conference meeting. She was a good student, but never really, really challenged herself. And I said, you know what? If your goal, actually, she really wanted to go to either Marist or Rutgers. And I said, if that's your goal, then next year, you need to have a seriously challenging year. And she agreed. So we mailed home, you know, she was taking AP Comp, AP Bio, everything. You know, then we mail home the verification sheet that shows parents what their students are taking, what their children are taking. Okay, all good. She started first week, in tears every day. I mean, breakdowns. And it killed me, but I just kept on saying, you have to stick it out.
Do we talk about, like, de-stressing tools, like, do
of
this?
I called her mom. Her mom says, you know, she's so stressed, I can't handle it at home, I can't do it. So I gave her a week, and I said, please, just please. And I'm talking tears, crying. And she stuck it out, and she is at Rutgers. So I think about her all the time because she was like a real success story, and it worked. But how hard it was for me to make her stick it out. But my feeling really was that if she was one of those horses, she would not be there. There's no way.
And understanding when to balance and when not to push, right?
Right.
Because
of course,
you have to know the kids pretty well.
A BU story, too, where the kid didn't have the fourth year of math. And it was like, no, you have to have the fourth year of math. And it's like, and lucky for us, you had the conversation with BU. And that was one of the trends. It's like, oh, we won't even look at her if she doesn't have the 4 years. And I'm like, thank you. Can you say that one more time? I'm going to speak her on
the point. Actually traveled abroad and wasn't here for a year, and they said the state of Massachusetts has changed it that you have to have 4 years of math. All Massachusetts, you have to, you cannot. So in order to go to their college, so she had three, but I explained, well, she didn't have the one because she was in Brazil for the year. And this was probably in the month of, like, November. And I said, I'll put her in by now. Will that work? And she said, absolutely. So it was UMass.
So I see Career Cafe. What are we doing?
I'll talk about Career Cafe. I think it was kind of, I mean, it's a brainchild that I hope to have and I really would like to see accomplished this year. What I would like to do is kind of what you were alluding to with Glenn before in terms of having local community members, alumni. I mean, I'll take anybody and everyone to kind of, like, come in and talk to our kids. 10th period. I'm really, you know, it's obviously still very new. It was kind of just something that got sparked through a conversation with a parent in terms of what other schools, some of them do. Some of the school that I know of, they make it a 10, I think they max out the number at like 10 or 15 students because they want like a small intimate discussion. And so let's say this, you know, attorney is coming in. You're more than welcome to come in at Career Cafe and, you know, come in and talk about, you know, what their day is like, what type of schooling they've had, what type of legal work they do, what law school, you know, all of that type of stuff is. And that would, you know, we would be able to, you know, I would promote it to all school, but have it 10th period.
I think it's important. I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think all five of us will agree to do that and come in and talk about what we do.
You can even come in and talk about, like, say, Robin. What school is you going to go?
I know St. Joseph's.
Okay, so you, like, we could even have, you know, an alumni come in and talk about, you know, what their major was. What school did they go to? So it could be career, it could be college.
Get 15 like more, and
And I would also like to integrate, this year I really do love what the life skill kids are doing with the, coffee crew, brew crew.
Yeah.
So I would like to kind of introduce, like, I talked to Caitlin and I said, like, what if, you know, having them coming in, and because what this other school does, they will have, like, cookies and coffee and make it, like, a conversation and make it not so I'm just standing up here telling you what I do as a guidance counselor, but really, like, so you can ask, like, well, what did you do? Because sometimes I'm sitting in these meetings with kids and they're like, how did you end up here? And I'm like, you know, so the conversations go back and forth. So that is my idea for Career Cafe, 10th period.
I like the idea.
I don't really have.
You know, if there's some agenda and it's kind of a clear, here's what we're trying to convey.
I'd like to do it monthly, so that way it's like once a month. And if we have like a couple of great things, even if it was from like 2 to 2:30 or 2:30, you know, whatever it was at that point, to kind of go forward from there.
So the goals and the future programs, this is kind
what
of
we would like
very
to
good to great. This is if you were designing the best guidance that you could come up with and design, these are the things that we would do.
Some of them, there are always more.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what the, obviously everything has a cost, so I'm interested to see what the other things are.
Some of, like, the one last point, if I can interrupt, would be like the high school elective to prepare students for college application process, essay writing, resume. That's something that other schools do have. And the guidance counselors go in and push it and are able to, it's actually in other districts taught by, whether it be an English teacher or a math teacher, they're hosted in SAT prep business, and they're actually doing all of that. And in our school, you know, again, it's a singleton, and it would be, you know, it would be something that would be kind of hard to schedule, you know, I think, but it would be something, ideally, that would be so great, because that would be hitting every junior with the process, with the letter writing, and it would switch hands from juniors to seniors.
So as we get to budget time, which is not that far off.
That's also time. We would be happy to have that person.
But we should think about it. I think it's broader. As we get there, I think we should think about, you know, what, you know, very good to great things we can add. You know, and you prioritize, and not every one of them is going to be able to be added because it's that weighing of every single thing. Mm-hmm. But it's nice to have that list and that prioritization and the cost, you know, for each of those things. And you kind of say, wow, if we did this, guidance is saying it would mean X more scholarships for kids or X, you know, more career opportunities or whatever.
For me, like, that elective is hitting that kid who maybe doesn't have those conversations going on at home all the time. I mean, those AP kids, they're doing it. They're going. They are taking electives. They're taking AP, you know, human geography on their off period. They're doing, you know, other things like that. They might not necessarily need to have that, but if they want to do that instead of lunch or something like that. But I think that ultimately would be, for me, that target audience of what you're talking about is the kids who are not having that conversation at home, that maybe are just kind of like that in between, to be able to switch hands and really go through that process with, you know, sharing often, who maybe, you know, doesn't feel comfortable normally coming into the office or has never been forced to because their schedules have worked out or whatever, that typical kid, I think that is hitting that, and that it would be something nice. Again, it's just right.
There's always the Bale one that you can key in on.
I'm sorry. Well, I know Sable has it. And my
Sable
West High
School has it. The general guy's stuff was there. He wrote a book on it, right?
Except
he actually teaches that class all day long.
Yes. It's awesome.
I think it's the bottom line.
That is how you build those relationships with kids. That's how, you know, when we went into senior 12 classrooms, that's how you're going in, and I'm like, I don't care who your guidance counselor is. Like, if you have a question, you're just going to come in and ask. Like, I don't know what you're waiting for, because some of them, I heard it, like, you know, 11-1, that was like a big deadline. Like, if you thought that was a deadline for you, like, come in and ask. Like, you know, so really just like breaking down those barriers, and that's how you're going to get kids to talk. And kids come into the office, and I don't care what their last name is. You know, granted, we are alpha, but for the most part, like, I was talking to Lisa today, this girl walked in, and she was like, where is Mr. Mack? And I just said, Mr. Mack's doing something huge. She's like, I have a, you know, she was looking for him for something. I'm like, you went to your global review yesterday for whatever it was. You moved your dentist appointment.
I know.
I'm like, because I know she was supposed to be doing this yesterday. This is what she's doing today. And, like, that's what is nice about our office, is that we're able to do that. And I think by kind of the smallness of our office, that's what really does lend to. I had a great story today, which is kind of what I would like to end with, was that, you know, and it was really at the end of the day, we were kind of in a madness about preparing for this and just making sure we were all on the same page, and, you know, then we got the shirts and we got all excited and really wanted to do this, but, you know, at the end of the day, it was like probably 1 o'clock, 12:30, 1 o'clock or something. I had a student, and I'll say her name because it's all good news. I had Samantha Coyle come into my office, and she kind of came in, and Sam is an amazing kid, and she had, she was worried that one of her schools didn't have her SAT scores, and she was applying to all these nursing programs. She said, Ms. Marino, I just want to know, and originally in the beginning of the year, she really wanted, she was really interested in Molloy, so I tried setting up an on-site visit for them to come and so she could meet with the rep. Unfortunately, Molloy, the earliest day they could give me was November 28th. So originally I had two seniors that were applying to Molloy, so I had November 28th scheduled for them. But they had applied like September 21st. So I canceled the Molloy visit. So anyway, Sam comes in today and she's like, Miss Marino, I just want to know, are they still coming? Because Molloy's saying they don't have my SAT scores. SAT scores, students are responsible for sending those via College Board. They can take 4 to 6 weeks to arrive at the college. So she's like, I went to an open house at Molloy this week and they say they don't have it. I'm like, all right. She's like, I need to meet with them. I can give them. I could tell she's got like angst written all over her. And she's a doll. So I'm like, why don't we just call Malloy and just see, because sometimes schools will take, if you call and just say, like, I'm verifying as your guidance counselor, we'll print out College Board scores, I'll type it up on letterhead that I'm verifying that these are scores, hold her place until you receive it from College Board. Like, this is what I'm saying. So I'm like, let's just call and we'll do this together. So we call Malloy, and I'm like apologizing to her, I'm on hold, and I'm like, I'm sorry, Sam, like, I canceled Malloy, you and, you know, the other one were the only two applying. The woman gets on the phone, she goes, no, I have her scores here. She's like, let me just double check because we've had a problem with College Board and so on and so forth. So she's like, let me just check. So she's like, yep, I have all of her stuff here. She was admitted to the program, and all of a sudden Sam hears it, and she just starts crying. And she's like, oh my God, this is real. And I'm like, the student doesn't know that yet. So I can tell her. And she's like, no, I can't tell her that. I'm not allowed to release information. I'm like, nope, you didn't tell me anything. That's great. No matter what. And Sam starts crying in my office, followed up by scaring the bejesus out of her mother after this, because she called her mom crying, and her mom started crying, and then her mom called me crying, and wrote me, you know, a very nice thank you, just as like, oh my, like a whirlwind of excitement. And I think that is really at the heart of what I come to work out to do every day, and that's the stuff that, you know, in a building of, you know, 1,600 kids, you don't get to do, because you just don't get to have those conversations. But I really am proud of what we do, the work we do there, and I think that that is really what we do for every kid that we can say, is really kind of get to that. And, you know, while they don't all have a, like, happy story like that, they're not all of that, but ultimately that is how we work with every kid, and I think that that's something that we'll continue to do.
I think that's great, and I appreciate, you know, everybody coming tonight to present this, and kind of the goals that you put in place and the steps that you've taken to get there. Just a couple of minor, if you could, on the summer opportunities, we talked about that, and we talked about that. I just want to see it because I'm interested. So whatever we're telling kids that are out there, send it to Russ or send a direct copy, you know, send it to me separately. Hey, this is what we did. I just like to see,
okay,
you know, what we're doing, what we're telling them about, you know, from the 6th and 7th, 8th grade levels up. I've got some other notes, which I'll give to Russ separately. Does anybody else have any questions? Does anybody in the, we're going to go to the regular portion of our agenda in a minute. Does anybody in the community have questions? We can take a couple questions. It's late and we've got a lot to do. Yes, I'm sorry. I waved you.
Hi. This is so.
We're recording, by the way, so.
That's fine. This is so close to home because I live this, teaching science and working with the population that's determined to go into accelerated in 8th grade. And you touched on so many major issues, and I just want to just advocate. I live all these decisions every day in the district that I'm in, and I've played a major role in playing around with criterias and analyzing numbers, and I've been doing this for 22 years, and I live and breathe the science, you know, accelerated program and all these decisions, and I've taught it, and I know what it takes to get there, and the math, and how it is today. We cannot underestimate how valuable the 7th grade mind is and how impressionable they are about all this information. And I just have my own teaching style, and I start from day one letting these kids know of all the options that are available in this program. And I reiterate it, and I do my thing. One of the things my district did that was so magnificent that I'm kind of sad they took it away because we did something different, is that when we had an opportunity to do another back-to-school night, we were able to, as each department, to come up with an idea of what we could do at that time. And my idea went into fruition where I basically met with my chairperson and we worked together to basically have a night that was an information night for the 7th grade parent, where we gave the whole, we really had a workshop. It was like a workshop for that parent. It wasn't a rushed 10-minute thing. It was sitting for, you know, for quite, it was, you know, about almost a half an hour, where we worked and we mapped out as a 7th grade parent what programs were available if you started off the trajectory of being in the accelerated and the non-accelerated. And we have some unique things in my district that, you know, we were able to, you know, bring up there. But the education, the workshop, and that relaxed evening of educating the parent of what it takes was so beneficial. But the same token, it really is so important that when the children come into our district, it's a middle school, and in sixth grade, they kind of go through that whole transition emotionally, and, you know, coming into the school and whatnot. In seventh grade, they're on their own. They have to advocate, do the juggling act, the whole thing. And what happens is all of those decisions that they're living, and that you obviously reach a criteria that you make that decision to go into eighth grade, we're having such amazingly difficult conversations with, you know, certain parents and the children, because they haven't field tested the grit. They've been told and they've been conditioned that they're of this caliber of student, and they really haven't been able to be full tested really until in seventh grade. And in seventh grade, you know, sixth grade science is a whole another beast as compared to seventh grade. This is the baseline. Seventh grade is that very critical age that you have that connection. And I really would like to advocate for doing workshops with parents of the seventh graders, with, you know, all the different academics, because, you know, they are so impressionable. I've taught eighth grade and seventh grade. Seventh grade, by far, you still have such power over that mind as far as the inspiration and bringing the parent in and having some kind of parent-student, because the whole rigor of the mindset that you have now for these programs, these science and math programs, are cracking these kids' spirits. They're going into these accelerated programs, and they are cracking, and they are not going to have the longevity, I'm telling you, right down the line. And if we don't accelerate at the same time the math and the science to a certain degree, we are not going to support the math they need in those higher level sciences. And I hope that it doesn't backfire. But we have a really strong program accelerating with biology in eighth grade. And it's really like a real boost to the start of the trajectory. Earth science, I'm so impressed that you guys have had some good success with some of these results, because that is a very difficult subject to accelerate in eighth grade. And so I just want to say that I hope that, you know, and I'm willing to bring to the table my you know, wisdom and as a teacher and as an educator to help out with that. And I think you said it was magnificent for the 10th during the day. I just think that we got to do more of really bringing them in. And all this time that you have with these conferences, I've never heard of middle school and high school having conferences with parents, which is great, but the same show, that's a lot of time that we can reinvent that time there to have workshops and be utilizing. I mean, I'm not trying to say we shouldn't have appointments to meet with parents, you know, parents and the teachers, but maybe we can think about reinventing that time and maybe utilizing something for some workshops.
Yeah. Thank you.
Can I just make a general open comment? I'm new to our community, so I'm listening and I'm taking this all in. I think it's a lot. I've been holding questions. I'm trying to figure out left, right, center. Sounds like you need another guidance counselor.
We love
you. I'm not advocating, but it sounds like, you know, you look at a CSC, a 504, a building level plan, a psychologist meeting, or whatever goes on throughout their days, and they're booked for maybe 3-4 hours. They're meeting with different, or it could be a corrections officer, not corrections, a probation officer for a 2-hour window. There's so much stuff that goes on within their day that no one can ever account for. And to me, I get the push. It sounds like the push at the higher levels to get these kids into bigger and greater things, which is awesome. Just don't lose focus on the other guys. And for them, I'm listening to the numbers. You said there's 600 in high school. Again, don't totally quote me. I'm learning this, but 600 in high school, 335 on your caseload. It's a little lopsided. Go split the position. Put a person in that high school. Help him out a little bit in the middle school. Reach more kids in the middle school. Help them out at the high school with some of this college writing process and the electives. Just an outside perspective.
Thank you. Gillian?
So I am a first-time high school mom. I have a ninth grader and I have a middle schooler. And for me, this whole experience of college and all the different things that are going on is brand new. And I'm sure you've done this a million times. But for me, I don't know where I should be pushing my child, what I should be doing, and what's best for her. And as a parent, I want to know more, and I would really benefit from having maybe you guys come in and speak to parents and even having a workshop with us, letting us know what we should be doing to get them on the right track. Because honestly, they have no idea.
And what I can tell you is that, like, just being small, now granted we've met before, but I know Grace. I see her in the hallway. I see her program. Like, where are you going? What are you doing? But that's what that. Those are the relationships that we have. So as parents, I understand that you want, and I think that just getting the word out there is where we need help. That we are here, and we are more than willing to do all of those things. We're at this point, like, I'm at a little bit of a loss for help in terms of getting people out there. Like, I'm curious how what the attendance like is at your school, and how you solicit. No, but like, how do you solicit parents to come to those things? Because that's where I'm at a loss. I would love to. I'll meet with you. I'll, you know, like, I know your kids, I'll do any of that. What is really where I'm looking for help personally, professionally, is how do we, if we do these things, how do I get heads in a room? How do I get this? Right. I would be happy with this many people. You know, unfortunately, we didn't have even this much of a turnout at Financial Aid Night, and that's something that when you're talking about your wallets, you usually get a lot of people, and we did not. And, you know, that's something that we're looking for help with. So I think, I mean, we are more than welcome. We do more nights than probably anybody in the building, aside from administration. We're more than welcome to do those things. We do have flexibility in our day to kind of accomplish a little bit of that. So we're more than welcome to do that. It's really just needing help in terms of getting the message out there appropriately, not to, you know, like, auto-blast come in, but, like, you know, I think appropriately getting that message out there, I think, would be great, and just, you know, looking for what we can do.
I think it's a big opportunity for us, just as a district, because I think that there's a lot of parents that probably wouldn't even admit that they don't know what's right over their kids.
Right. Yeah, right. I think that, yeah.
And that's good for us to hear, because we do this, it's like we do this in our sleep. So it's so easy for us to say, well, you should know that. Like, actually, Lisa Valley has exchanged an email. And it was funny because I said something to her, like, I mean, even though she emails me all the time, so all I have to do is call Carly and, okay, this is what you have to do. Okay, no big deal. But sometimes we assume that they know things.
Right.
You know, or
and
know
that's it. Like, I have a great relationship already with Miss Moreno, but I still have no idea what I'm doing and what's best for Grace.
I still
and how
don't
I'm
know
how
to get going to college.
You never know.
I still don't know what I'm doing.
I'll take care of the youngest sibling. She'll take care of it. Come in anytime.
Yeah.
There's a lot. But again, I think that's why I kind of had to make the presentation about what's delivered in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. Because
right.
I am educating. I'm a counselor educator at that particular point. There's a lot of knowledge to take in. So I, you know, it's given to the kids, and they have access to all those websites. They're all free websites. So talk to Grace about some of those websites we use, and you go on them, and that's how you're going to do. You're just going to read and review and research, and if the information's there, we'll let them use it. And kind of, I'll take care of the middle school first.
Thanks. Sorry.
Yeah. Regarding the Marist trip, what grade or grade levels are eligible to go on that trip?
So that's a good question. I first would, you know, maybe reach out to 11th graders. And I guess it depends upon whether our district is funding it, because it's a bus. Marist doesn't, you know, they don't charge us for our kids to go. Our kids, basically, they would just be responsible for buying lunch. But then the bus, I know a few years ago we took the students to Sacred Heart University and our district paid for it. And we used a bus. And it was a full day. I'm going to say it was probably about $1,200 at that time. So it really depends upon if students can pay, then we could have a few buses and maybe open it up to 10th grade. I don't know what our district is willing to pay, or with most districts, the students pay themselves.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, but I would be very happy to introduce it to 10th graders. And then, you know.
Yeah, I have a friend whose son, upon entering 9th grade, their school district,
mm-hmm.
you know, they do it, I think, 5 or more trips
right.
per grade level.
Right.
And they know that going in freshman year, there's competition for those seats.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there is potential to go by the time you're a senior to have seen, you know, 20, 30 different universities on a bus trip with your school. And it's cultural for them
mm-hmm.
now. So when they move into the expectation is they're all going to college.
Right.
And now they're fighting at the 9th grade level for a seat on the bus to go to that college.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just curious if, you know, maybe that's something we could also explore.
Right.
Looking at, you know, telling the 8th graders entering, look, you're going to have an opportunity as a freshman to start visiting. You know, by the time you're a senior, you'll have seen a state school, you'll have seen a private school, you'll see an Ivy League school. So that's what that district does. They make sure that they see those different types of universities, and then it's great, I think, incentive for the guidance counselors to say to a freshman, well, you know, you went on that trip to Geneseo last week. What do you think? These are the grades you need. You don't want to take the class? Well, this is what, if this is your end goal, and it's just something that every year they can, you know, see something new.
No, I think that, and we talked about the last presentation, adding, you know, so having two this year and trying to add more as the years go by. So to your point, you've got those students that are interested in ninth grade. Again, it's something that if we're paying for, it's something in budget time that we look at and what that costs to them.
First graders, so if there's an open bus to Yale.
Like, if I'm going to Connecticut, that's what
I would just speak to this. I mean, in working with Ryan, I appreciate Mrs. Like, I've heard their family stories, and what I really enjoy about, in talking about college visits and everything, and just, I'm going to throw it out there because I think it's not, I think it's public information, is that, like, their family trips, and I know, like, Lisa, and, you know, there's other, as your kids are getting older, like, they make it a point to, like, look at a school. Like, when they're going away, like, let's say they're going to go visit whoever, you know, an aunt, or they pick, like, a historical trip, they'll try to visit a school around it. I think getting those messages out there and having families here, like, all right, you're going to Florida, hit the three schools around Disney or do other things, like, that's something also too, you know, granted, at our level in terms of the building, that's something that, you know, has to be dealt with, you know, budget wise and everything else. But I think ultimately what my goal would be to have those families know what else could we be doing, what else could we, you know, okay, so I just got an email, so and so is missing from school for a week going to Florida, like, I hope you're gonna go visit, so do something positive with it. And I think those types of experiences are so valuable, and that's really because it's really mom and dad in the car viably saying this is where a potential school for you is, you know, in terms of, you know, your academic potential, but, you know, how much the tuition is, what we're really, how far we know you can go. You know, I do love the kids when they say, like, oh, I'm going to California, I love it, and I have them look at Pepperdine, and it's this awesome school, the Bluffs of Malibu, and I'm like, go for it, look, I don't care, you know, like, it's great, get them hooked. You know, and then the parents are like, why do you have them look, Mrs. Barr? I was like, why do you have them looking at that stuff? And I'm like, because it just gets them fun. It gets them looking at it. Are they going to go there? It's like $70,000 a year to go there. But it got them interested in all of it. And I think just having those conversations, that if you're going there, you know, if you happen to be hitting, you know, the West Coast, maybe hit up some, you know, like, go visit something. And if that's tangible for your family, great. I think that's great. So I think just having those conversations and those excitements, and having those conversations with parents is ultimately where our focus constantly goes. It's just really driving home and seeing what at every level. I had a parent come in today, a junior parent, who's very eager and very anxious, only child, everything else. She's like, what can I do? I don't know what, you know, like, this is all being lost on me. And I was like, I get it. And she's like, my kid has no idea, and, you know, this one sport encompasses her life, and that's it. So I was like, take a trip to Stony Brook on Saturday. She has no idea what she wants to do. Go look at Stony Brook. Just go walk around it. You can, you know, go out to lunch after. And if you like it, you like it, and you know where what you're headed, what you're looking at. She's very strong student, so it's appropriate. And then go to Hofstra, take a drive, you know, the next day, go check out Hofstra. That's not infringing on anything, you know, monumentally in terms of what you're looking for, but it gives the parent at least a heads up in terms of what they could be doing, just to get a scope and a feel of their own student, what their student looks like on a campus like this. And as a parent, does my kid fit in at Hofstra? Is this appropriate for my student? All those different conversations. So I think at the district level, I think that, you know, there's things that are aside from our control in terms of budget, but as a department, I think just to keep driving those conversations home, to keep doing that is really ultimate.
And I don't think parents know that you can just go to a campus and just walk around. You don't need a tour. Like, I didn't know that until I said, you don't need a tour. You can just drive on and go walk around and look around. And the kids can, I mean, you know, my daughter learned she likes schools that are enclosed. You know, she needs a campus. So you can find that out by just, you don't need this 2-hour tour. You just
so we should suggest that. I mean, I think we
would suggest, you know, it's one thing, I know it's hard to take them out of school, but there's a much different experience when you take them. When
they have to go in sessions and sessions.
We don't go on a trip that doesn't include a college visit someplace, right? So my kids have seen colleges all across the country, and Ryan's been to Stony Brook, right? And Ryan's already seen success there. But we've taken them on the weekends. We've gone to games and other things. We took them for a campus tour on a Tuesday,
and the feel on campus is amazingly different. Yeah. You walked around, it's like, oh, this is it. Like, I love this. So seeing it
in action
with the students.
Yeah. And knowing that that's appropriate for you, and knowing he has that security of, like we're doing this together, because it really is a family decision. I mean, ultimately, he's going to go by himself. But, you know, ultimately, you know, like, it is a family decision as to, like, you know that that's the good fit. You've done all of that work together and have seen it all. And I think that that's kind of
what we're doing. One thing I could add is that maybe it would be helpful. The only thing is we have to do it during the school day, is to maybe have a workshop during the school day for different grade level parents and invite them in. And if they know well ahead of time, and if they're working, maybe they can arrange their schedule. Maybe we have it at, you know, 7:30, so that if they can get to work by 9 or whatever it is. But I would totally be willing to do that if people would, you know. And it could just be like, as a ninth grade parent, like, it's what we do with the kids. So, and sometimes we forget that maybe it would be helpful for a parent to hear that as well. You know, what do you do as a ninth grade parent? What are the things that we should be focusing on? You know, like we always say, it's important to start keeping a resume. Maybe join one club. Maybe be a leader of something if you can. Look at what you're taking, you know. So I would start, and, you know, from 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, you know. So I would be willing to do that if people thought that was a good suggestion.
I would just suggest or offer this, because it doesn't matter what school you're talking about. Different schools have the same problem getting parents to these events. My daughter's a junior. She's met her guidance counselor 0 times, except to go to a computer lab to pick her classes.
Yeah,
but I would offer that the fall, winter, and spring, we have that mandatory athletic code night. Mm-hmm. That hits 50 to 60% of our entire student body, 7th to 12th grade.
And parents go to that.
So I would offer that you can go to all 3 of those and present different portions of the program.
And even give a handout.
I've always hit upon it when I speak. I've always hit upon the resume and the most things, but you got to take advantage of the capabilities.
Okay, when is the good time to visit the school? Talk about those specifics.
I think a good suggestion is trying to meet with parents. A lot of parents don't want to sit in a big group setting. They like the one-on-one contact.
Yes.
We could do something like
a workshop.
Like how we have meet the teacher in the fall. And you can have a meet the guidance counselor. Set it up with you. Mm-hmm. The parents can log on and get their 10 minutes of one-on-one FaceTime. They can bring their kid in. We met this year, one-on-one, or at the end of last year, set up Ryan's schedule. Having this meeting made junior year go so amazing, because we sat for that 15 minutes and talked about his interests and what classes we're looking for and when we're going to take him. Junior, senior, and we had that one-on-one conversation. I got a lot of feedback on my particular child, what he needs, which may be very different from what everybody else's child needs. And it just made this year go so much better. We could set up time. Not that you have to sit here all night and wait for parents to show up. Nobody can expect that.
Schedule,
you can schedule the time like you do with the teachers and have just that 10-15 minutes and do it around scheduling time. Parents would probably really appreciate that, because I feel until this year I was very detached from his scheduling process. And we had a lot of problems as a result of that. So we didn't have language 1 year in his schedule. 1 year he didn't want lunch, and we ended up with 3 study halls. So we were constantly behind, you know, trying to catch up with the schedule. And I think meeting in advance just makes that so much better. So you can kind of tie it into parents. If parents want to know what their kids are doing schedule-wise, they'll show up, and then they can have that one-on-one conversation.
And I think before the senior year, because I know I got a phone call to schedule an appointment with you over the summer, which was great. I think I called you before I actually was called. But, and that's helpful. You know, touch base with us. So they did reach out to us at that point for seniors.
So I really appreciate you coming in. I think a lot of good information, and, you know, I kind of sense the excitement and the desire to grow and help the kids as much as possible, which is nice. It's really nice to see. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, long presentation, great presentation. We've got an agenda tonight. I think what I want to do is see if there's any questions or comments from the community on tonight's agenda only. Remember, we're recording, so state your name and your question. Anybody have any questions on tonight's agenda only? Okay.
Motion to adopt the minutes of the regular meeting of November 3rd, 2016.
Motion.
Motion second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carried unanimously. Do they have any opposition to adopting?
Of course, board.
Okay. Make a motion to adopt on the agenda tonight items 6 through 15. What?
Just
about the 12A donations. Say again? 12A
donations.
I'll come back. Yep. Wait, am I looking at a different agenda?
Yeah, the agenda we have
just said. Okay. Okay. Stand by. Motion to adopt items 6 through 15 on the agenda, including the items on addendum A. Motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. So I want to take a minute to thank PTA profusely for a donation of $7,000 to cover the BOCES Arts and Education program. As always, many of these programs would be not possible without the efforts of all the members of the PTA, so thank you very much. And also want to just take a minute, there's a contract on your Outerworth Bus Corporation that we've adopted tonight, and just to point out, I think it's important for the community. We had a lot of conversations about it. We've agreed to sign a contract with Outerworth Bus Corporation. It's a 5-year contract that they've been kind enough and to continue to work with us as partners to save us a significant amount of money, enable us to continue to work with them going forward over the next 5 years. So I want to take a second to thank them for that. Last item on the agenda tonight, any questions or comments from people from the community on items not on tonight's agenda? Anybody have any questions or comments? Okay. Dates to remember, next Board of Education meeting, December 14th, 7:30 here in the district office. Motion to adjourn to executive session for purposes of discussing collective negotiations under the Taylor Law with CMAA and CMPA. Discussions regarding proposed pending or current litigation and other matters in disclosure which result in unwarranted invasion of personal privacy. Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much for coming, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving.